A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Magnificent or magnificent.
That's not the name of it, really.
Magnificent. My mother
the Magnificat.
Do you know what? I'm going to visit the nun today, my aunt. I'm going to ask her, has she any spare
Magnificat
and missiles for you? And
really?
The hell? You bought what? Tommy, that's like something you'd find in a 70-year-old woman's handbag.
Let's just leave it at that. Let us just leave.
It is.
That is like something. What else could you find in a 70-year-old woman's handbag?
Magnificat.
You'd find her lipstick. You'd find her car keys.
You'd find
maybe a bottle of cheap perfume and that magazine.
A bottle of Just
Musk. A bit of gin and a few Xanax. Zolofts.
Go on. We can't start.
Magnificat is published monthly. For each day, it contains the readings and prayers for Mass with a meditation from the great spiritual writers of the Church throughout history, and prayer for morning and evening inspired by the liturgy of the hours. You'll also find Lives of the Saints articles. Your mother would love me, Hector. Your mother would love me.
I'm the son she wished she had.
I am very worried about the way this podcast is going over the last couple
of weeks.
Do
you know the other little magazine
it is
that
veering
you
down.
Well, Hector? You know the other little magazine my aunt used to send to my mother all the time? They're little, they're like little magazines, but they're holy magazines. What are they called? They'd be called again.
McGill.
They used to be like, we used to, as kids, you used to get Seamsogs, those ones.
Oh, Seamsogs. Cush Tira, Cush Lee.
This one is.
Seamsogs Tira.
I'm going to ask her. I'm going to come next week with a load of Mass stuff. Rosary beads.
I was coming down here for a bit of crack.
There will always
all
be crack.
All I wanted was crack. I was so excited coming
so
in the car
could
in
you
the pouring
read?
Rain.
Could you read?
I have something I want
Thursday's
to read
Thursday's Mass,
I have
please.
Something
I was
to
going
read
to start the podcast.
With the reading from the book of Isaiah, no? I have something that I just found interesting.
That was inspirational.
I just found it, but I can't, now I can't
find
it.
Is it very relatable to us on the podcast? Is it relatable to us in our
I can't find it. It's gone. It was basically, I went into the Veritas shop. I went to Mass.
Near the Veritas shop.
I went to Mass on Sunday.
Sorry, I'm laughing
the
about it.
Veritas is the cash and carry of, it is the IKEA of all things books religious.
I was in Mass. The sung Mass in the small little church off Grafton Street on
which
Sunday.
Which you like to go to, Tommy.
And we...
Christ be beside
what? No.
me.
No.
Christ be above. I love that one. Like Christ be behind me.
That's like a van travelling to Knock for the Tommy Fleming concert.
Christ be above me. Christ be below me.
Slow it down there, PJ singing.
Christ
PJ singing.
Be above me. I used to love that one.
Yeah, well, anyway, I went to it and it was interesting, but I went to the Veritas shop and...
What did you want to pick up there?
I wanted to pick up books about God and Jesus and spirituality. And
are you going to be no crack anymore?
Stop. I'm more crack now that I have discovered the Lord than I was before.
No, you're not.
The Lord is strong this month in you, Tommy. I can really feel it.
Can you feel the Lord in me?
I think you're like Jesus amongst us. You're converting us all.
He walks among us.
No, I'm not.
We're around in sandals next.
We are blessed to be with him at the moment.
White robes
Tommy,
and sandals.
We
I wish
are
I could
flock.
Find this little interesting
Lurita, we
thing.
Are his flock.
We are, because you're converted me already to be saying prayers
at night.
We are
flock, the flock.
And now we just need to learn the joyful mysteries and
sorrowful
mysteries
and the profound mysteries and
the glorious, whatever
the wedding mysteries and
the hidden mysteries, and the Mayo mysteries, the Croke Park,
the eternal mysteries, the eternal mysteries,
the Croke Park mysteries, the royal mysteries.
I often think that if we say we were kidnapped,
who's we now?
The three of us
individually, or maybe together,
thrown into the back of
together,
a van with gaffer tape.
like the Terry Waite and John, not John, Brian Keenan.
Oh, yes.
And they, the three of us, were chained to radiators in the Lebanon for years.
No, it doesn't have to be the Lebanon. It just has to be the bungalow in Kilkenny. Just the non-distinct 70s bungalow up a side road.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, but I often thought if we've ever, and you, it's more likely to happen to you, Hector, because of your...
my extensive travel shows.
I wasn't sure about that. Is that what you...
Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay.
You know, it's
I
gone.
I just never
it's
know when it's going to come out next.
Every episode, Rita. Every fucking episode.
It's funny, though.
I think I'll have a funny book now.
It is funny.
It's not funny. It's not. It's stupid at this stage.
It's really funny.
No, it's not, Rita. What you think is funny...
Listen, do you know why it's really funny now? Because we know that you don't think it's funny at all. We think it's even funnier.
That's not my point. That's not my
point. If you thought it was funny too, you wouldn't find it funny at all.
You're always on my side.
I am. Victor. I'm on your side.
Anyway.
Go on.
So
we get arrested.
No. I often thought, if we find ourselves in a tribal situation, which is more likely to happen to you because of your extensive, I think that is what
portfolio,
you do.
Portfolio.
Yeah. And do you know the way they say, and they might even be speaking in cliques or whatever language of the tribe, like, and there, you might have an interpreter, and the interpreter would say, here is the storyteller of the village, and he will tell you of the great stories of our tribe. And this fella would point to the sky, and he'd point to the fucking ground, and maybe he'd take out a symbol of the sun.
Is this while we're still chained?
No, I think I've moved on from
that. We're sitting around the campfire now, Hector.
It's voluntary
having
now.
A good time.
We're released, are we, when we're sitting by the fire?
We're having a nice time.
I think I got off to the wrong start. What I meant to say, a tribal situation, and I just said kidnapped for some reason.
Okay, go on.
Thanks.
And he's telling all this great... doing impersonations of lions.
Will I translate your...
No. But he's doing... It's a story that the tribe tell each other, tell themselves, in order to reaffirm their identity and to remind them of their morality and remind them of their sacred duty as members of that tribe. And then maybe say, and you're the white man in the middle of this tribe. And then they say, and the translator says to you, he would now like to hear a story from your tribe or a song from your people. And I'd be at half a loss to know.
But you have the missiles now.
Exactly. So how could I tell him a story of my people? Like, what, do you know what I mean? We're kind of, I feel as if we have been kind of slightly, we've been amputated or from our history.
Yeah.
So if they said, tell us the story of your people, Larita, and you would kind of go, well, myself and Audrey one time were in Amsterdam and we took acid. Do you know what I mean? So the only stories we have are kind of, you'd be able to sing a song.
I've sang songs in tribal situations with tribal people.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I could share with them.
But would you say
Oscar Elga, I sang She the Wamoi in the middle of the Amazon with this tribe, and I sang in Africa a couple of times as well. But that's the only
thing. So they're all gathered round.
And
you go, She the Wamoi, She the Wamoi, She the Wamoi, She Kailachanarigid. She the Wamoi, Yawalish Moris, Kerning, She goes, She never only Kosharigir.
I'm masking a ball, some masking a. So it went on like that. But I found that
you'd be
sharing a
I've
song.
I've gotten friends in lonely places. Gonna pick on them.
Low places, not lonely places.
Sing us a song of your culture and your people.
Yeah, that'd be.
Well, I've got friends in lonely places.
I wish I was on the 17 stone walls and the grass is green. So it's kind of...
I know what you're saying. We don't have them stories of ancestors and...
We're not familiar enough with the stories of Cúchulainn. We could all tell the story of him, of how he got his name. Do you remember that story? Satanta was playing...
Was playing hurling
and he was told to come up to this thing at a certain time, and he came and the dog came after him and he drove the slitter down the dog's throat and then he said, who the dog belonged to? He says, now I belong to you as your dog. And he became the Cú of Cúchulainn.
Yes.
Cúchulainn's hound. But in terms of, like, stories that would be really...
The land of silver birch
or something,
and forest.
Or I went down to the Hazelwood because a fire was in me head.
See?
I cut and peeled the hazel wand and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the ground and moth-like stars were flickering out, I threw something in the stream and hooked a little silver trout.
I had laid it on the ground. And something, something, something. It had become a glimmering girl. Something, 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 something.
But you don't mean
I know, it's almost a knowledge.
Can the enemy fast the gun on it? Ta gerin a chuil to erlor. Il tractor kill kashna or arena, it's ni clishfer on a cligan gabra. So it's I think we're kind of, you know, I think we've a poverty of story when it comes to that type of stuff.
When I was in them tribal situations in Africa and in South America,
what
they were singing songs, they sang songs,
yeah,
traditional songs. The only thing I could do was reciprocate with an Irish song.
Totally,
yeah, but that's
the only thing that was in my DNA.
I suppose we don't have the opportunity to do that very often. Like we wouldn't be there sitting around and go. Like we'd be generally sitting around with like-minded people if
it's
we go
a tribal
for a drink
thing.
Or whatever. We're yes. not going to be sitting down there going, oh, do you remember the story about Cú Chulainn? But if you were going to these places, Tommy, maybe you could prepare yourself.
But it's when you're sitting together with your friends beside the fire having a drink and the songs start. That's a tribal thing. Those yeah. old songs and the respect we have for them. So I think maybe...
Or the old stories that you'd hear... Your father Absolutely. Or your grandfather or whatever is talking about. Those stories that are like completely unrelated to us, but they were...
So if we were kidnapped and we were handcuffed, what's happening then?
Well, this is another story. Yeah, yeah. How would we survive together?
So the three of us are in a room and we're tied to the radio.
Well, we still have to do a couple of podcasts a week.
Yeah. We'd have to ask them to bring in the microphones to at least...
So are we chained? We're chained to the radiator in a box room in a bungalow in the middle of the country and...
But why are we in Ireland? Why can't we be somewhere like dynamic?
Okay then. Right, we're
like in Norway or somewhere.
Norway?
We've been kidnapped in Kathmandu.
The shop. They're like Port West.
You know the Nepalese Express is the name of the chipper in Ennis, the two Nepalese boys.
No, we
the chipper in the Duller Road. The Nepalese Express.
Somewhere like...
N-I-P-P-L-E.
Somewhere... yeah.
Where do you want to be kidnapped? It's a shitty situation to be in. Why do you want to make it glamorous?
Okay, well, it's not going to be glamorous, but somewhere really depressing.
There's nothing glamorous about kidnapping. Do you want to be in a rural Scandinavian town?
Yeah.
Yes.
In like Sweden or
and
somewhere.
And then we'll have to get a guy called Morton to come investigate.
From aha.
And all we can hear in the kitchen is, take on me, take me on. And he goes, shut your mouth in there. Comes in and prods us.
Yeah, prods.
Prods.
Why
are we kidnapped?
It wouldn't work. I'd die straight away. I just couldn't be dealing with being kidnapped and been tied up.
Rita, you must understand that in that type of situation, we would be, you're the queen bee.
He would be a disaster.
We would be like worker bees. We would keep you alive hell or high water.
No, just let me go first, please. If you
Our job as little worker bees would make sure that the queen stays alive.
We would do everything
and must
for
get
you.
Fed every day with whatever she needs.
We give you all our food, all our water.
So I wouldn't necessarily I'd be kidnapped, but it'd be sort of
you'd be in your element.
I'd be in my element.
Like water in a kettle.
Oh God. I'm pretty sure we're safe enough and we probably anyway, don't but spend it
just,
enough
I got,
time together.
Just got thinking about that thing of stories and
no,
and,
I know.
We would have in our mind, we would have religious stories. So if someone says, tell me a story about the spirit of your people, and you'd be kind of going, well, I could tell you a story about, you know, even though you wouldn't be entirely sure how connected to the spirit of your people, you could say, well, I could tell you a story about Jonah and the whale or Daniel or Samson or Jesus or John the Baptist or, do you know what I mean? But we we're not fluent enough in our own tribal history or our own spiritual history to be fluent in front of a tribal person in that situation.
But shouldn't every young boy and girl in this country be taught history so they can spout,
they are taught history but it's all
spouted out
you don't remember
it's all dates
instead of dates
there's no soul stories
out, like I remember this country but this country was a land of forests 6,400 years ago
so
like,
tell us then educate us now and we can educate the people that listen to the podcast so if they're ever caught in a tribal situation they can tell a story. What story would you choose to teach them to tell?
In all honesty, I would probably have to go for the life and times of Joe Dolan.
That's a bloody mastermind you're going on.
And Brendan Boyer, a true warrior.
Or is there anybody in Irish culture that
Trevor Giles
that you can look back and say their lives have had huge ups and huge that there's more to their life than a story of success? Like, is there anybody in recent Irish history who's gone the far side now? And everybody's really familiar with the story of that person. And we can kind of go, did I ever tell you the story about Brendan Boyer? We don't know if,
yeah.
Or but we don't even have that. We don't even have cultural heroes like that.
Do we?
We're in a strange. It's funny because we've been fed so many stories every day in the newspaper.
Paddy O'Shea, we probably have
there
stories
you go.
Of him.
There's millions and millions of stories we're getting in the newspaper every day, and it's often connected with scandal. This person did that, and this person did that, and now they did this, and aren't they an absolute fucking disgrace? Or they've been praised to high heaven. Yeah. Oh my God, this person is. Oh, have you seen this? Yeah. Oh my God, it's brilliant.
It's all wishy-washy. Oh, it's nonsense.
But it's like all those stories coming at us all the time. They've filled us up so much that we can't remember. It's like we're traumatized. It's like every day is a fucking car crash of information.
Yeah.
So much bang, bang, here. They were kind of walking around stunned the whole time.
And it's probably not accurate even, so you're not even getting like...
So when someone says, tell me a soul
Willie
story
Joe Patton,
about your
senior,
people.
The great Mayo, like, you know, the legends.
You could probably tell a story
like
about...
Michael Collins or...
No, do you know what I think now, just off the top of my head now, Geldof. Because Geldof's story contains so... And it's not even finished yet. But you say, I'll tell you a story now about this fella, and the mother died young in him. Mm. And it was just himself and the sister and the father living in the house, and the sister was going away. Or the father was away at work Monday to Friday, and it was himself and the sister in the house the whole time. And he was full of the most amazing intelligence, and then when he left school he was a punk, and he was on acid, and he lived this wild rock and roll life. And then he saw... But you never underestimate people. Then he saw a thing on the news that only lasted 4 minutes about the starving children of Africa. And he changed the fucking world for half an hour. He put on the biggest global television event that had ever happened. He saved lives.
Raised hundreds of
millions of pounds. And he was married to this beautiful woman. And then she left him for somebody else. And then she fell into bad trouble in her mind and couldn't take it no more and left this world. And then his daughter did the same thing and the man is still standing.
If I was sitting around a campfire in Africa there, I'd have the whole tribe in listening to that.
Do you know what I mean? So, but that's
I know where you're going.
That's a contemporary person
yes.
that we can project an up and down story.
A warrior-like story.
Yeah, but we don't really have it in terms of mythical. We're not familiar enough with... Macha,
why
the
is
horse
that?
Goddess. Yeah, we're not familiar enough with Krunkor. We're not familiar enough with Finn.
We're not even familiar enough with people that have just gone from this world, like in the last century.
But we say the Bradon Fasa and the Salmon of Knowledge, but people don't really know that exact story. The man that came on your chat show about a year or 2 years ago, depicting pre-famine Ireland, was them. These are the men. These stories should be on the curriculum of how happy we were before the famine in Ireland. How we survived.
Well, how happy now? Hang on. We were part of a. We weren't allowed to own our own land. We were working hard for the landlord. We were.
Yes,
suppressed.
We produced great music.
There was no religion, no banks, not much.
Are you talking about before the English?
Yes. When your man came on, what was he depicting when he said these little villages living together, the doors were open, there was a family structure, we were speaking our own native language, we didn't have...
It was pre-famine,
we were pagan, we had no... The structure was really important in the west of Ireland.
We were still a colony though, but we were in like pre-famine times, and there was religion. Priests, back in them days you weren't allowed to say mass.
It was hidden priests, wasn't it? Hidden masses.
Back in them days, there was no churches. There was just priests were like drug dealers. You had to meet them
sidewall
to get a fix.
To get come here, I'll tell you.
Yeah, you don't have any of that, do you?
There's going to be. I know.
Tommy, you'll have his magnificat.
I know a priest, and he's going to be at the Blue Rock. The Blue Rock.
No way.
Tonight.
What time?
Don't fucking tell anybody.
Have you? Has he got some stuff?
Has he? He has loads of it. He has fucking loads.
Has he got the?
Is it the good stuff?
The wedge stuff.
This
yeah.
is pure body of Christ. This is
come here.
Do your soul.
What time?
The power of God.
What time?
We don't have clocks.
How will I know?
When the sun is setting.
Yeah, we'll give it an hour or two after it gets dark.
Above the blue rock.
The blue rock. I know what. Say nothing. He'll be arrested if he's caught.
There'll be putching afterwards for everyone.
But you know what I mean? That's what mass was back in them days.
I know.
And then something strange happened when the church got into power and they all turned into autocrats. But anyway,
Yeah, but we're learning so much info. There's so much fucking shite out there at the moment. It's all wishy-washy information. What's really staying now in your brain?
I'll tell you what's staying in your brain.
I didn't want to get to it, but it's head of my
agenda
here, and I think we need to address this. I have not been able to stop thinking about Roy Keane since the interview the other night.
Now, tell us why.
And I've sat with Dipna at the table. Reen, as my eldest boy, was fixated in a way. He was, like most of Ireland who watched it, they were like going, oh, this is it. This is interesting. Is it interesting? What's happening here? I firmly believe that Roy Keane has structured such a persona the minute he's out of his comfort zone, which is his dogs, his house, or with his friends, or back in the days of Steve Bruce and Norman Whiteside, Brian Robson, where I'd say he'd let the guard down after 10 pints. I think...
Very hard to keep the guard up after 10 pints of fairness.
We know fucking all about
it. I think he has really, really perfected his public persona. And it's an absolute Rolls-Royce machine of stoic face, the eyes... Nothing. It's just the simple answer. He reverts to a simple answer all the time. You were a great captain, great leader. No, they were just great players. He's taken a brilliant angle. Plus, he learned off the pundits in Ireland, who were the greatest soccer pundits of all time.
Yeah.
Dunphy and the boys, when they
Dunphy,
went at it.
Dunphy, Giles and Brady.
So he went to England, and when he stopped playing, he said, I'm going to do it my way. And he realised that they cannot get enough of it on ITV and Sky. And he's doing it brilliantly. I firmly believe that, because when he's with his brothers or his mates, it's a different Roy Keane.
I
don't know. What do you think of that?
He was, even though the interview was had its own particular dynamic, it was still very interesting to be talking to him, and it was still fun.
People thought it was laboured for you, like,
yeah. No, not at all. No,
Tommy, were you a little bit starstruck?
Maybe, but not to a huge. I wasn't starstruck to the sense of being speechless.
Now, you had done a gig for him before.
Oh, that was 1,000 years ago.
Yeah,
that was
Sunderland.
That was when
Sunderland manager.
When Sunderland won the football championship. The championship.
Championship.
When was that? That was like 20 years ago. Maybe, yeah. Niall Quinn was,
and the player that became absolutely obsessed with you after that, which I always find, I find this funny.
Dwight York.
Yeah. Niall Quinn told me that story. I thought it was absolutely hilarious. Dwight York became your biggest fan.
He fell off the chair during the show. He couldn't, the big fucking happy head, and him looking at me, he was slapping
Dwight
his leg.
York,
he was going, what
he's
the
loving
fuck?
It.
But that was back then, Sunderland. Like, I remember, do you remember the old road between Kilreakle and Ballinasloe?
I do.
There's a bar on the left.
And yes.
Because there were so many Irish people involved in Sunderland back then,
yes.
This fella had
the whole of Ireland bought Sunderland.
Yeah, this fella had a mannequin shares. By the side of the road on top of his house in the fucking Sunderland jersey.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And come here.
But after the interview, we chatted for a good 10 minutes after the interview, and it was different.
There you go. In what way?
In that he was just, he was very friendly, and he. It was I.
Do you think if the audience wasn't there and you interviewed him last year when there was no audience?
Possibly,
there,
and that is something to look into if the show is better with or without an audience. Yeah. That is something to think about. So, what happens when the audience.
With someone like him, though, maybe.
Yeah, so what happened. So, yeah. So, with the lady that was on after. So what happens when the audience are there is that, me especially, if I see a joke, I'll go for it and. There'll be a bit of a laughter. But also, when it gets serious, the energy of the audience, it's like a pylon. They add extra intensity to the felt moment at the time. Whether that translates into the same thing when you're watching at home, I don't know. So I think there's an argument to be made for no audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know? There was a few giggles at the beginning of the interview. It was almost... nervous giggles from the audience.
Yeah, or if there's an awkward moment, maybe they will react. Whereas if there was no audience there, the audience don't react, and then there's a better flow maybe.
When you cut and you spoke after it, how did you feel the level of friendliness compared to when the cameras were on? What did you feel then?
It was like he unclenched.
I'm telling you, he's a master. He's a master. His face is a he's a
master.
But
he's a lovely man. I have a lot of time for him.
Isn't it funny the way the country have been questioning the Keane interview, the Roy Keane interview? Was it good? Was it this? Was it interesting? Tommy's trying really hard. It was just, I loved hearing that he had a Chinese and he probably slept in the guest bedroom. And he's just simple. He just,
yeah.
But whether he has that all.
But he's also funny, you know. He was kind of like, no, I don't have any. No, nothing.
Yeah.
And I was saying to him, you know, when you were writing the books and you were thinking back on your childhood, did you remember stuff that you hadn't remembered before? No.
he's like a child in first year. Have your homework done? No, not really.
And then he was, what did I ask him then? I said, you know, because I'm always interested in how people are connected to the people who came before them. Because someone might present as a famous superstar, but they had brothers and sisters and aunties and uncles. And so I said to Roy, can you tell me a bit about your grandparents?
Yeah, I remember that.
And he goes, and he was like, no.
That's just
yeah,
too
because
funny,
he's never been asked a question like that before.
You know, and I
wanted him to say, well, he was born in Bunratty.
All you wanted was a
county or something to cling on to.
My grandfather, he moved from the country up to Cork City. He worked as a chimney cleaner.
And
he was a great man. He was a great man for football and pints of port. One of the greatest storytellers that ever came out of North Cork.
But
I was there. What was your grandfather's name? And he says, oh, you have me there.
So, like, you see.
That's too funny.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. What did you think?
Well,
she hasn't seen it yet.
I didn't watch it yet. I've recorded it. I was out and I was. But I was getting lots of text messages and updates, and it was like Father Stone was being interviewed by Tommy.
Liam Neeson interviewing Father Stone. Yeah. Can I just say to you, before you watch The Second Guest, there is two phrases that you need to know.
Okay.
First phrase is, are you ready for this?
Yes.
It'll be right up your alley.
Right up your alley is right. You don't know who the next guest is.
No.
So the first phrase that you must, I'm going to tell you now.
This is vital. It's
not particularly to do with you. It's just to do with somebody who hasn't seen the interview.
Is this for women in general, no?
No, but and
any man.
Most men. Okay, not great. But a good percentage of men.
Right, come on then, I'm intrigued.
So the first phrase you need to be familiar with is that the anus never lies. Which is one of the great.
That has to go down as. That is
the anus never lies.
It's not a new James Bond movie. It's a James Bond porn movie.
That's brilliant. 007, the anus never lies.
The anus never lies. And he's there on the back of a boat in Monte Carlo and he's bumming in his boat.
Will that be elaborated on the show?
What?
Will that be elaborated on the show, right?
And the second one is open the second door.
And you have to watch that guest.
Open the second door.
Well, you must have been
Jim Morrison.
So were you able to ask
and
questions?
I walked down to the second door and I knocked.
Father, open the second door.
So what, you're
get in there.
Don't accept a no answer from
you
the
second
door. You
have to sit now.
So were you interested in the sphincter stories then?
Oh.
Were you able to?
What was amazing that what people have talked about to me anyway was that how refreshing it was to see an Irish person on television talking about sex in a way that had absolutely nothing to do with shame or secrecy or privacy. It was just, it was like, you know, those.
Is she busy? Like, would she have people?
It was like, you know, when you see those that cooking show on Channel 4 on a Sunday morning,
Sunday brunch, and the
fella there, just take the carrots and shove it. She was just so.
No, she is good. She was excellent. Excellent. The new wave. It's a new
and
wave.
Open and
new wave of thinking.
And she's busy, like.
Oh, she's flat out.
Flat out, yeah. Flat out.
Flat out with sex workshops all over the place.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Morning, noon, and night.
We might have to take her on board, will we?
I've nothing to learn.
Imagine if we were.
When it comes to sex,
imagine if we were locked up in that house in Scandinavia with the sex therapist. That would get tricky. Six kids, you've got to learn.
It was quite a change from Roy Keane, and it was funny when you said,
"And didn't
join
Roy
us after
meet,
the break? Roy staying with us?
Yeah.
Did Roy meet the sex therapist?
Well, I tell you one thing. When I finished the show, and I was talking to the sex therapist lady after she was there with her mother and her father, And lovely, lovely.
Were they just sitting in the audience? Listening?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I bet they have a great sex life.
Lovely people. But Roy was fucking glued to the fucking telly in the green room when she was on. Fucking glued. And I wouldn't be surprised if he wrote them two sentences down.
There you go.
The Innes never lies. And always, always try and open the second door.
No, not. You cannot open always. The second. You can't. No.
Always. It's not a barn door. We're
no,
about,
Rita, you can't force your way into the second door. The second door has to be opened for you. You can stand outside it and shout, "Open the second door!"
But so that's a bit like my office situation. The office.
I'm getting hot now. What?
Turn off the office. Turn off that heater, will
turn
you?
Off the heat. That's a little bit
step into my office.
It's office, boardrooms, different, you know.
Yeah, but this is open.
This is a bit more this intense.
But this is not the office.
No.
This will be not, it's not even on
this will be the hot boiler room.
And it's down in the basement.
As soon as you open the door, it's there's a waft of heat. There's a fucking smell of pipe
must.
Stop! Smell of pipes.
Open the back door.
Come into my boiler room.
Oh, classic.
That has
a
classic. Anyway, so we'll plough on another interesting episode this week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I hope anyway.
Wow, yeah, brilliant. Excellent. I watched a movie last night that like blew me away. It's called The Swimmers on Netflix.
Oh yes, I started watching it.
So it's about these two Syrian sisters who had to flee Syria. They showed Syria in 2000, like Syria only became a war-torn country, I think, in 2011, 2015, I think they left. It was completely normal, beautiful,
totally
gorgeous country.
Yeah,
completely
Assad, the house of Assad.
It was absolutely perfectly fine, really well functioning, and then
ISIS.
Yeah,
well, and ISIS so, and Assad.
Yeah, of course. But these two kids had to leave. They were professional swimmers, as such. They were the father was their coach, and it was just like there was such a contrast message of how horrible people can be, and how they, you know, these traffic smugglers, these people smugglers, where they're trafficking you and they're putting you into lorries and they're getting you from A to B and charging you all the money they can charge you. And then you see the opposite side of how good people are, like the Red Cross or the UN, and how these people volunteer and do what they can to look after people. But it is a beautiful film. Like, it's quite long. It's, I think it's about 2.5 hours long. I think it won awards at the Montreal Film Festival. And
The Swimmers on Netflix.
It's a true story.
Two beautiful girls.
It was, and you know what? There were two sisters that starred in the movie.
It's a true story.
It was a true story about two sisters, and they were quite similar looking. And obviously, it's beautiful. I don't want to ruin it, but it's worth watching, and it's worth persevering for. And it is I don't really cry. I'm not that emotional, as you know.
Guards close to the chest all the time. Wouldn't even know she was getting married at her own wedding.
Not a tear in sight.
Other than her walking around half steamed, telling people to tell her that they loved her. That was it. That's my main memory of Rita's wedding.
Tell me you love me. Tell me you love me.
No crying.
Dubois de Nissi, Dubois. Dubois, Lorita.
Tell me you love me. Love me one more time. Hold me and tell me that you love me for all time.
Yeah, that's how
I'm the one for you.
That's how I talk. Get lost.
All day, all night.
So I'd cried twice in the last week at the darts. And
oh,
then
magnificent.
And then I cried
Lisa.
At the swimmers.
Oh, Jesus, the fella said you're the heart that's turning two legs. You cried at the darts.
I cried at the darts.
That's a beautiful
and the swimmers.
That's a beautiful moment.
So watch the swimmers.
Which bit of the darts did you cry at?
When Smith won.
Smithy, Bully, oh, yeah. Bully,
and
Bully.
And that's not a nice name to call him, Bully Boy. It's not.
He calls himself then that.
Yeah, but he looks like Bullseye from Jim Bone. He looks like that.
He's a nice, nice, soft,
brilliant,
gentle fella. His little kiddings. And the young fella's in the darts academy already and he's about 10. And like... Just, yeah. I was sad about that. I was emotional about that. And I was emotional last night about the swimmers at several points throughout the film.
And did you watch it with The Beloved?
I did.
And The Beloved would have an intellect par excellence.
Yes.
And
it's fine when you're watching. Like, in fairness, it's difficult enough watching a lot of films, but this one I was able to persevere with and had an interest in watching.
What I meant by that is that he, because he's very well informed about current affairs on a national level, and I include the six counties when I say national.
Yeah, that's
controversial.
The whole island.
What was his reaction to? How is he for international politics? Is he well
versed?
Well, he's bloody versed in everything. It's ridiculous. Sure, he's a subscription to every newspaper in the fucking world. Like, he's reading.
And he doesn't forget anything, does he? He's one of them brains that.
It's absolutely annoying. It's more annoying than anything.
How is he for anniversaries and?
Oh,
birthdays.
No, he doesn't believe in cards.
Great man. A great fucking man. There should be more of him. More like him.
I insisted I get a birthday card for my last birthday, and I was like, you have to buy the card and write it, like, by buying it myself.
So hang on a minute.
I told him to get me a birthday card.
Why?
Because he doesn't get birthday cards.
Is love not up to other people?
Well, the love for me is up to me, so I don't care about
cards.
I like cards.
What is the big deal?
I like
deal
writing
with them?
A nice message in them.
Two days,
he bought me a card.
If you were
left it on the table, right? I was there going, "Oh, this is brilliant." Opened it. It was a birthday card with one of those, you know, those things where you blow out and it goes and it said on it,
cock.
"Blow me," is what the card said. "Blow me," and then inside you wrote, "Please?" ? And that was my birthday card. Like, thanks a fucking million.
Armored cars and tanks and guns, they came to take away our sons. But every man should buy a card for the other beloved.
Isn't that just ridiculous? Like, after all that, I thought I had him perfectly moulded after I got married to him.
Why would you want to mould him?
I wanted him
imagine
to get
a man,
me a birthday card.
Imagine a man saying,
just a lovely, nice birthday card.
We'd be accused of, is it gaslighting or whatever the fuck? I'm trying to mould this woman now into a proper lover.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be hanged on and quartered in the public square for that.
Yeah, well, so it hasn't turned around the other way yet, so I'll continue to do it.
Does everyone remember cards?
I thought, brilliant, a card, lovely, a really nice card, and then that's what he got me.
Okay, so you like cards?
Yeah, but he doesn't believe
in
them.
And you like writing messages in cards?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so I want you to imagine that you are writing a card for Hector and a card for me.
Okay.
And it is...
What's the celebration?
The celebration is just, it's just a random act of love. And it's a surprise. There's no big reason. And I just want you to tell me, Larita, right now.
No, I'll write you cards next week.
Ah, no, come on, just
tell us. Just tell us what you'd write.
Off the top, what would you say to Hector? Dear Hector.
Dear, just...
No, it'd have to be his birthday or Christmas or something.
Okay, just make it weird then. Okay, what would you say?
Oh, I'm making it weird.
No, but birthday, you'll just say happy birthday.
Birthday.
If it's a Tuesday morning, the postman's just come. I'm watching a bit of Eurosport.
Of course he is.
I pop out and I say, oh, how are you? And I'd get the card and I go, who's this from? And there's nobody else in the house. I'm standing at Rocco's standing with me in the kitchen and I just open it and it's...
Who's the cameraman? Roscoe. Okay.
And I open
it
like, and I go,
hi Hector.
Hi Hector. And I go, hello.
Okay.
What
would you say?
Sending you all my best wishes and love at this particularly hard time for you.
Why is this Mead in the first round of the championship?
I hope that you are keeping well. And know that I am thinking
Where
about
you. Where
are
you in New Zealand?
And know that I am thinking about you and praying for you.
Oh,
lots of love. Larissa.
There's some lovely thoughts there, but why?
Okay, and what's my one then?
Okay, so it's your birthday.
No. Whatever you want, Larissa, you decide. So. I'm not going to force you to get me cards whenever
Happy
you don't want
to. Happy birthday,
it.
Tommy. I hope you're still praying. God bless, Larissa.
There's no love. What's the cracking love?
Okay, I could do love ones if you want.
No, but no, we don't.
If you said,
you know,
cards,
you mean so,
Tommy,
so much to me.
If I
know how I love being your friend. Thanks for being such a great companions and, you know, having, no, that's, no, I'm not that. I was better. It depends on the situation. It has to be, like, you can't just write an impersonal card off the top of your brain.
Look at her eyes. Her eyes are getting off narrow.
So fucking, that's typical ye, like, you what? Just write a card out of your head. I have to have the occasion in my mind.
I would go.
Like, if it's, for instance, we're having a new baby, right? And I would say, dear Hector and the beloved, congratulations on the beautiful, gorgeous, perfect little girl that you've just brought into
called
the world.
Shro.
Shro.
I'm looking forward to seeing Shro.
Shro.
Grow up to be
live stream.
Baby stream. Baby stream.
Dot TV.
Yeah, the gold stream.
Yeah. So it has to be, it has to be appropriate to the time. You can't think.
Cards.
I'm not a generic card writer.
But they only stand 2 days on a shelf and then they're ripped to bits and fired.
Did you ever write cards to your kids and like do your signature on it and your surnames as if you're signing an autograph?
Did you ever do that? Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
You know, like somebody was telling me a story that they wrote, their wife had a baby and they wrote a card to wish the wife congratulations and have the baby, and then signed it off like as if, because he was famous, he signed it off with his autograph
for the wife.
Yeah,
that would say that went down well.
Yeah, and another fella did it, and for his child's birthday, and he wrote it and autographed it to the child as if it was
from Eddie Macken or something.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
What about?
What would you have ever done anything like that?
So I, but no, but my surprise note to you would be
oh yes.
Dear Larissa.
This is a Wednesday morning in Knockmore. You're in your pyjamas.
Is this just a card to say you're thinking of me?
No, who knows?
Would you be more comfortable telling me what to write? I get that vibe off you.
Okay.
Go on.
What's
on the front of the card?
On the front of the card is a picture of a field of hay.
Summertime or springtime. Would be a summer spread.
Do we get that on sandwiches when we were kids? Is that a type of margarine? Is it?
No, it's remember the sandwich spread. Rotten.
Cat puke. So, hey, Larissa, this is just a card to say that I don't often express my feelings very well in public or in private, and I just take this moment just to say how fond I am of you and how delighted I am that you're in my life. Lots of love, Tommy.
Fucking hell, yeah. That is an absolute, that's really, and then, feel
and
that.
Then I, dear Hector, I don't know if you saw the card that I sent to Larissa. But
here's a photocopy of it.
Here's a photo of it, and I suppose I'd say the same to you.
Now, that is brilliant.
It was Dipman's birthday on the 3rd.
Now, did you write your card?
I forgot to get the card.
Yeah, okay. So you're not into cards either.
And I forgot to get it because we're down in Dingle. But
I have no shops.
I elbowed Reen at about 8 o'clock in the evening. The darts were on. And I said, you better do something for your mother. So then all of a sudden I get
here. Is this the day of Roberta?
The night after we come back from Dingle. We went down to Dingle.
Hang on. It's
8 o'clock and it's already been her birthday all day.
Hector,
we just were traveling back. Or is this the night before?
We were traveling back. We went away for her birthday for a couple of nights.
I'm just saying, was this the day of her birthday or was this the day before?
No, this was the night of her birthday.
So this was, she had the whole day and you didn't remember it was her birthday.
It's been her birthday all morning, all afternoon, all evening, and there's been nothing.
And then you give a nudge.
Because we're driving 17 hours from Dingle.
But you didn't say happy birthday, like.
You're not traveling from fucking Mogadishu, man.
Of course we said happy birthday. We were down in Dingle for the whole birthday celebration.
And why would you say it's 8 o'clock? You better do something
so
for her birthday.
I elbowed Reen and I said, you better go and sort this out. And Reen,
what about you?
Would it be too obvious
because
if you went?
With two other blokes in the house, and I said, you better take the heat off Dad. So fair play to him. The two of them scuttled away. I could hear Futhran out. I could hear Brinter going on.
Oh,
and
no.
They made a card. And they put photos of them as they were younger. And then they write on the card. And this was nice. Thanks for everything you do for us. And thanks for everything we have. And we love you loads, Mom. Rian and Shane, and they sealed
put Dad
it.
In the in brackets,
and they put it up under her pillow. And I said to Rian the next day, I said, you're a good man.
Smooth.
You got me the ride last night. Talking about summer spread. She melted like a pound of butter in my hands after reading the card.
But he said, no, isn't that lovely from a teenager? Thanks for everything we have. Thanks for everything
that's beautiful.
Do. And I said,
it definitely
took I said, they're the little things
and you couldn't have gone out
make
to do
me
that,
happy
no.
as a dad. Once they have those little feelings in their heart,
and are able to express them,
and they're able to and express
able to
them,
have I said, the technology
that
to do
one
that.
One sentence,
unlike you,
boom. I'm saying, God, we have them. Hopefully, gone down some sort of a right path.
You were fantastic. Trying to convince your wife and their mother that her birthday wasn't until the next day.
Please,
were
I'm
you?
Not going down that. I'm not going down any roads about anything. You just don't understand.
So you don't write birthday cards or Christmas cards, Tommy?
I forgot.
I'm not. I don't. I no. Yvonne loves them, and she writes brilliant cards, and she. In, loves getting
cards,
expressive and emotive cards. And I got her a good one recently, but not for her birthday, not for Christmas. Sorry,
yeah.
But I got her a really lovely one for another special occasion.
As in, you wrote a lovely message in it,
Yeah.
I think cards that come randomly in the middle of the blue, without the celebration, without a reason, are the really ones that make something really nice.
Or a blowjob. So, okay.
Okay, on that
Thank
happy
you
note.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. This week's episode comes in from Edward Hampton.
Hello, Edward.
Sounds very
And thanks to Edward who sends in.
Edward, are you
fine? Now, here we are, auditioning for the fucking Ronan Collins slot.
And we go Edward. Live to Johannesburg. Edward Hampton, what's happening?
And this week's episode is called Trallyfornia. Good luck to you.
Extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.